Episode 49. Welcome to the Take Up Code podcast, where you can learn valuable insights and skills in programming. I'm Waheed Tanner, and will be your host today. The preprocessor is old, primitive, and strong. But you need to understand its strengths to use it effectively. It adds capabilities that the C++ compiler can't come close to duplicating on its own. The best way to become a professional programmer is to start writing code. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. Have you considered attending a Take Up Code free live class? Text PROGRAM to 44222 and you'll be on your way. It's called a preprocessor because it runs first before the compiler ever starts working with your code. You use it all the time without even realizing it. Anytime you write hash include and then the name of some standard header file or one of your own header files, then you're using the preprocessor. I'm going to explain 7 aspects or capabilities of the preprocessor with some examples. All the preprocessor directives begin with the hash character. The preprocessor also doesn't use semicolons to mark the end of a directive. A preprocessor directive goes all the way to the end of a line. The end of a line also marks the end of a preprocessor directive, but you can, if you want, extend very long directives onto the subsequent lines by ending each line to be continued with the backslash character. Okay, number 1 is the most common and one that I just mentioned. Hash include directives are followed by the name and optional path to a header file. The header file is placed within angle brackets for standard header files that come with the C++ compiler itself or that come with various libraries that you can install, and it's placed within double quotation marks for your own header files. These directives cause the contents of the header file to be included in the file being compiled. If the included file has its own include statements, then they're also included. You use header files to define the basic structure of classes or to declare information such as method declarations to be used elsewhere. Putting this information in header files allows you to define it once and make use of it wherever needed without having to redeclare everything each time. Think of this like a rubber stamp that you can use to imprint text over and over again in documents. Number 2 is also used quite regularly whenever you want to selectively include or exclude sections of your code. These are conditional directives, and you have the following available: #if, #if_defined, #if_not_defined, #else, #else_if, and #endif. Some of these are abbreviated in code, but when speaking their names, I've always found it easier to pronounce them fully. For example, #elseif is how I pronounce #elif. To me, elseif just sounds better than elif. Just like how we normally write st in addresses, but say street when talking. These directives work together to test conditions and then either include or exclude entire sections of code. You can also have other preprocessor directives inside these sections that get included or excluded. You can use these to change how your code is written. This goes beyond just changing how your code behaves at runtime. Maybe you want to have a single header file that defines useful information for the rest of your program. But this information is completely different depending on your platform. So if you're writing a program to run on Windows and you want to include this file, then your information will be specific to Windows. On Linux, it will be specific to Linux. You do this by putting both Windows and Linux code in the same include file, but each in their own preprocessor conditional section. Then, by defining some term, such as Windows, before beginning the compilation of your Windows code, you'll be sure to include the sections that are specific to Windows, and it'll be as if the sections for Linux never existed. Number 3 is something that I've never used. It's called a null directive and consists of a single hash character. Nothing happens and it gets ignored. I included it here just to make this list complete. Number 4 is an error directive. This will stop the compilation with an error. Why would you want to force an error? Well, if you forced an error all the time, then I'd also ask you, what are you doing? No, the usage of this directive makes sense when included in a conditional section. Maybe you don't want to support compiling your code on Linux. You can then force an error only if you detect Linux. Number 5 is a file name and line information directive. The preprocessor is aware of the actual files being compiled. The C++ compiler itself does not have this information. If you want to include the actual source code file name or the line number of some statement in your code, you could manually type this information into your code as a string literal, but that's very fragile. What happens if you add some more lines of code to the beginning of your file? Or what happens if you copy this code to a different source file entirely? You don't want to have to keep updating this information, so let the preprocessor do this for you. Just be aware that this information is really of no use to your customers. Your customers won't know or care what file name or line number your code encountered a serious error. This information is only useful to the developers, but it can be extremely useful when tracking down bugs. I'll explain the last two directives right after this message from our sponsor. Even the most famous programming experts had to start somewhere. The one thing that all professional programmers share is that we take action. Go ahead, text PROGRAM to 44222 now. If you're not actually typing code, building it, and running it, then you're missing more than half of what you need to be doing. It's hard, I know, to get started, and if you need some help, then all you need to do is register for one of the Take Up Code free live classes. You can attend with just your computer and an internet connection from anywhere in the world. These are live workshops instead of just lectures. You get enough lecturing already. These are fun workshops. You have enough boring tasks already. And these are focused on results. You get tangible results from the beginning. Text the word PROGRAM to 44222 and you'll be on your way. You can also visit takeupcode.com to begin. Number 6 is called Pragma Directives. This directive begins with hash pragma and contains instructions that are specific to your compiler. You can use these directives to control the behavior of your compiler itself from within your source code file. What you can do and how you need to format these directives will be found in the documentation of your compiler. And finally, we get to number 7. These are called replace text macros and use hash define and hash undefine directives along with some clever use of either a single or a double hash character. This is where the full power of the preprocessor can be found. It'll take some getting used to, and even I need to refer to the language documentation anytime I try to write complex code that makes use of these directives. The first thing to understand is that the preprocessor really doesn't understand anything about C++ or any language. All it knows is how to replace some text with some other text. Even so, it's really good at this job. The basic directive is written like this: hash defined identifier text replacing text. Most define directives use all capital letters for the text to be replaced. This makes it easy to spot text in your code that will be targeted for replacement. The original usage of this feature comes from the C language, where it was used to define constant values. For example, instead of writing 3.14159265 in various places in your code, it used to be better to define a macro for this. You would write hash define pi 3.14159265. Then, in your code, anytime you needed the value of pi, you could just write capital P, capital I. And by the time your compiler gets to that part of your code, it would be as if you had written the digits directly. The preprocessor runs first and replaces the identifier text, capital P, capital I, with 3.14159265. A better way to do this same task in C++ is to define a const double called pi and assign it the same value 3.14159265. The benefit of using a constant double variable is that you now have a typed variable that you get to specify. It's protected from being modified because it's const, but now the compiler knows about the variable. When it was defined with a macro, the compiler just sees some digits. This has also been used to define utility methods, such as a macro to determine the larger of two numbers. I don't recommend you do this anymore either. This was essential up until about the mid-1990s when templates were introduced. Now, the main reason that I still use macros is for wrapping up repetitive code into simple replaceable identifiers. I've used macros to declare entire classes with methods that all get hidden behind the simple text identifier in my code. The compiler never sees the identifier text, and it's as if I had written the class definition directly. This could lead to duplicate definitions, so what I do is make use of the line number macros to give my class definitions unique names. Thank you for listening. Make sure to check out the other episodes, and if you get value, please give the Take Up Code podcast a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and a review. I'll select several people who take the time to provide thoughtful reviews, good or bad, and give you a shout out and a big thank you during our Q&A Fridays. Your support goes a long way to helping this podcast thrive and help others learn how to program. If you have any questions about this episode or even other programming questions, please ask. Just go to takeupcode.com/contact and submit your question. The Q&A Friday episodes are where I'll answer one or more submitted questions. Until next time, keep learning. But even better, keep doing. If you want to learn how to program, then start programming. And you will learn and get better, and your mind will expand in ways you never thought possible.